You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Ross Raisin's first novel, Out Backward, takes us inside the mind of a Yorkshire teenager as he witnesses the destruction of his family's way of life. It's been called one of the most eagerly awaited literary debuts of 2008. It was nominated for the Dylan Thomas Prize. It's published here by Harper Perennial, and I'm very pleased it has brought Mr. Raisin to the show today. Hello.
Hello there. How are you doing?
So tell us about your narrator, Sam Marsyke. Who is he?
He's a young farmer. He's 19 years old, and he's the son of a struggling sheep farmer. So his dad, who he has a very strained relationship with, works a small holding on the North York Moors, which is a part of Yorkshire, the north part of Yorkshire, which is extremely beautiful, rugged, bleak landscape. And that's kind of the atmosphere of the book.
Are these the moors of Wuthering Heights?
No, different. Oh. Wuthering Heights is West Yorkshire, and that's a small, similar sort of feel to it. It's a small, bleak moor called Haworth Moor. This is the biggest moor in England, which, you know, in American terms, it's pretty small, but in England, it's pretty big.
Sam was forced to leave school at 16, allegedly for attempted rape, although since we hear the story from his point of view, it seems like the incident was a bit more innocuous. So are we meant to see him as an unreliable narrator from the start and question everything that he says?
Yes, I would say so. There's a lot of ambiguity all through the book as to, you know, how reliable what he's saying is. But it's a question of I wanted to create a character that was double-sided, as it were, and so he's very alluring. Like he's quite funny, and the voice that he talks in is quite an appealing voice. But then at the same time, he's committing these acts that are quite repugnant, often they're repulsive, and so you're torn as a reader, and you're thinking you don't know quite how to feel. And the idea behind it was that would make you then question more why he does the things that he does.
Well, it's also fun for a writer to get into the mind of somebody who is disturbed.
He's twisted,
Sam is disturbed. His family, as you said, are sheep farmers, and we learned quite a bit about the business. Have you ever worked on a sheep farm?
No, I haven't. And I do kind of worry that any farmer that read it would be like, what the hell is he talking about? That's completely made up. But it's slightly made up, but it's based on reality. I mean, I think like the farming practices that happen in the book are quite old school, and they're certainly based on a small farm.
And you did grow up in the area. Is Sam like one of the people who you would bump into and wonder what the heck is going on in his head?
No, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Obviously, there's various shades of yes and no in that. But yeah, I grew up in a rural area. Different. I grew up closer to Haworth. I grew up on a small moor, and I didn't really discover this landscape until only a few years ago, really, when I met my fiance, and like she lives near there, and I used to wander up around it, and it's an incredible, like, it's very high, very level actually area that you go on top of it, and you can't see anything else all around except for this bleak heather landscape.
Well, Sam spends his days helping out on the farm and then roaming the moor, spying on his neighbors, scaring away hikers. He's definitely an outsider, which is makes for an interesting narrator. Does being an outsider make him the perfect person to comment on the changes that are going on in the area?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, yeah, he has a very much a struggle with everybody in his world, his parents, the local people in the town, and then the off-comered people moving in from the cities, and he's been ostracized, and he's outside of all these communities, and people fear him, and he becomes kind of mythologized in a way, and that kind of gave the opportunity to give him a very odd voice, because he doesn't talk to other people. He talks in this kind of voice in his head that is very distinctive and quite Yorkshire, but also quite just bizarre.
And we actually get all sorts of words that are going to drive some translator in another language absolutely crazy.
Well, yeah, I saw a couple of weeks ago the Dutch translated version, and that's really strange to look at that, because occasionally there's little words that pop out that they've not been able to translate, and you're like, I recognize that word.
Well, words like gleg and glishy and crambasil and gomeril. Are these words that people in Yorkshire would recognize, or are they there just to confuse Americans like me?
Bit of both, yeah. I thought that more people from Yorkshire would recognize them, but having talked to my friends and family, they're like, why didn't you put a dictionary in the book? I don't understand any of that stuff. But, I mean, they're mostly real words. A lot of them are made up as well, ones that I've invented. But, you know, I do always say that the voice is more specific to him than any exact location in Yorkshire. So I've mixed up North Yorkshire, South Yorkshire words and played around a bit, had a bit of fun.
And you said that the farms are being bought up as second homes by people from the cities. Isn't North Yorkshire pretty far from London?
It is.
I mean, that it would take hours and hours to drive there for a weekend stay.
Well, it's a four or five-hour drive, so, and it's 2.5 hours on the train. So you get people that live up there and they commute to London.
So in a way, this is kind of the same sort of thing that we have experienced in this area, in eastern Long Island, the Hudson Valley, where outsiders have come in, bought up farms, and the farmers are feeling threatened.
Yep.
The local butcher shop becomes the Green Pepper Deli.
Yeah.
The pub is taken over by a national chain.
Yeah.
Instead of being one of the local brewers.
Yeah, and it's something that I feel very strongly is happening all, not just in Yorkshire, but all around sort of the more beautiful areas of England. Like, so Exmoor is, similar things happen down there in the southwest, like sort of Cornwall, Devon area. And it fragments communities. And so it's partly because, you know, people move in and they buy second homes. And so those homes are only being inhabited at certain times of the year, and the rest of the time they're laying empty. And so, you know, the kind of community is being dissipated.
Can you get a pint of Tetley's bitter in Yorkshire anymore?
Oh, yeah, you can. You can get better than Tetley's as well. Black Sheep is, I would say, a better pint than Tetley's.
Well, Tetley's the only one I remember. What's happening to the local people? Where are they being displaced to?
Well, I mean, part of the result of people moving in with lots of money is that house prices go up, and so local people can't afford to live, or especially young local people can't afford to buy houses in the areas, and so often they'll move out to surrounding areas. And so certainly in terms of the service industry, that creates this kind of warped effect that they're not serving the people that they were intended. They're not serving themselves anymore. They're travelling in to where they live to serve, you know, these rich people. I mean, that's you know, quite an extreme view of it, but that's in essence the pattern of what's happening.
Was part of your purpose in telling the story to bring attention to the plight of these farmers?
Yeah, definitely. For farmers and also the countryside in general, because I felt very much that there's not that much fiction, English fiction certainly, that that deals with what I see as a more real view of the countryside. And so when you do get the countryside in fiction, it's often quite quaint and pastoral and chocolate box, whereas I wanted something that was a bit rougher as a contrast to that I think is more realistic.
We're talking about a novel called Out Backward by Ross Raisin, published by Harper Perennial. Actually, in England, it had a different title, God's Own Country. Why was the title changed?
Actually, I can speak freely now. I'm in America, but basically, Out Backward is my original title. And between myself and and Penguin in England, who are the publishers, we decided that that perhaps didn't have the impact that God's Own Country, which is the title over there, had, and that title wouldn't work over here because it doesn't have this, has a different resonance. I mean, God's Own Country means Yorkshire to English people.
Most you mentioned that there aren't too many books about people in this kind of situation. Maybe that's why it's being compared to books that are unlike it, like Wuthering Heights, A Clockwork Orange, Catcher in the Rye.
That just makes me laugh, all that stuff. Just
Butcher Boy, Sheep Shagger. I wondered about an earlier novel, James Hogg's The Private Memoirs and Confessions of a Justified Sinner. I don't know if you've ever read that.
No, I haven't. Is it good?
Yes, it's a masterpiece and underappreciated novel, but from the viewpoint of somebody, a really troubled person.
Yeah.
And when your story begins, a family of towns, as Sam calls them, I guess people from the city,
yeah.
have just moved in to the next door, and they happen to have a blonde teenage daughter. So the reader is alerted from the start that there's going to be some trouble.
Yeah. Is she blonde? Yeah, I think she is blonde, isn't she? It's interesting, actually, that when like the sort of marketing around the book, they focus on her being a very beautiful young girl, and it's thrown me off a little bit because I was like, well, she's not. There's never a point in the book when I describe her as being beautiful. But yeah, there's trouble when she arrives because he's the, you know, he's a guy who's, as we've said, he's completely ostracized, but they kind of latch onto each other. Because she's in a way in a similar situation, and so
she's an outsider as well.
Yeah,
but he brings the family a welcome gift, a basket of wild mushrooms that he's just picked, forgetting to mention that they might be infested with maggots.
Yeah,
and they don't realize it until they start eating them. They're not sure whether the gift was actually a hostile gesture.
It's one of the few things in the book that he does that isn't hostile. In fact, his intention isn't. He wants to create a good impression. And he actually spies on them while they are cooking the mushrooms, thinking this is really good. But then it turns bad when they start cooking them and the maggots start crawling out of the pan.
As this relationship develops with his neighbor's rebellious teenage daughter, with predictably disastrous consequences, we come to realize that Sam is even more disturbed than he seemed at first. You were giving us clues all along, weren't you? We just had to be aware of them?
Yeah, I mean, he disintegrates through the novel and his mental state worsens and becomes more twisted. But, yes, of course, there are clues all the way through. And it's quite upsetting, I think, when he eventually does, well...
Whatever he does,
yeah. When he breaks down completely, I suppose.
You said that people thought you should include a glossary or a dictionary, but you have included some helpful appendices, including a photo of a sheep. Why? Are you afraid that your readers have never seen one?
I don't know. I really like that bit. It's the thing that HarperCollins does. They have these PS sections, and so they say, you know, have you got any interesting stuff that we could put in the back? So I sent them a whole bunch of photos that I took up when I was doing my research, and they picked the one of the sheep, which I quite like. There's quite a lot of photos that I took of the places that they travel to as they move across the moors, as they escape across the moors.
The book has gotten great reviews in the UK, and it's been long listed for the Dylan Thomas Prize. But news articles always mention that you have no intention of giving up your day job.
No. No, I have no intention of giving that up or of reading the reviews, actually, either. It's a decision I made. I made two decisions. I decided I'm not going to read any reviews, be they good or bad, and I'm not going to give up my job working I work as a waiter, only part-time. I only do two shifts a week now. But... to me, it's not a big deal at all because.
Well, what do you get out of working as a waiter?
I get paid for one thing, and I also, that's just kind of the structure of my life, is the pattern that my life has followed for the last, 4 or 5 years while I've been writing novels, and it just works well for me because of course you write a novel, you sit in the library, you're on your own, it's a bit boring, and you go to the restaurant, and it's much more sociable, and. The balance of it works really well for me, so I'm not going to stop it just yet.
Although they gave you some time off to come on this book tour.
Well, I had to actually resign, and then I'm going to be... Well, so they tell me I'm going to be re-employed when I go back next week.
Although I'm sure there are plenty of waiting jobs now in London. London has a restaurant boom, doesn't it?
Well, it's quite a hot potato at the moment, that topic, in a way, because I've been slightly involved in... We have a whole complicated issue to do with tipping at the moment, the service charge. And hopefully, I've been in communication with the unions there, and we're trying very hard to change the structure of tipping because at the moment it's very biased in favour of the restaurants rather than the waiters.
If people put on their credit card, the restaurant keeps the tip.
That's
and
right.
If they don't hand you cash, don't get it.
The way it works there is an amount is added onto the bill, and it's the legal property of the restaurant to do as they want with.
Wow. So are you working on another novel?
Yeah, I'm slowly because I'm being distracted by things like coming to America and all this business. But I'm writing a novel about a Glaswegian ex-shipyard worker.
So I assume in the back of the book we'll get a picture of a ship.
Yeah, something like that.
Russ Raisin's novel, Out Backward, is available in this country from Harper Perennial. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's been a pleasure.